Yes, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Jack Farmer, and I'm coming to you live from the Elite of the Week studios here in sunny Southern California. And have we got a show for you? We've got turns, we've got swerves, and we've got shocking endings. But before we get into the hijinks, shenanigans, and flim-flam, allow me to introduce to you my partner, the man who may act like a child at times, but seems to always have the magic words that make him a superhero to me. Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it for Flobo Boyce. How are you, buddy?
Man, I actually like that intro. You had me in the first half, I will say that. And for those of you listening live, can you guess the superhero Jack is talking about? I can. It's my second favorite superhero of all time.
Yeah, so for those of you who are new, every time I introduce Flobo, I try to introduce him in a superhero comic book way, and basically while we're killing time until the, you know, everyone gets into the chat and all that good stuff, I give you guys the chance to guess who it is. But Flobo, we're not alone. We're not doing this by ourselves. See, now Roger, he's out on assignment this week, so I reached out and I found someone to fill in, and I didn't know who would answer the call. But lo and behold, one of the best broadcasters in the business today, the voice of Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, Primetime Live, and the Wrestling War Room. Folks, you may know him as Bimbo Jimbo, but I affectionately call him James Kincaid. James, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for that superb intro and for having me on as a guest. I'm honored and I'm stoked to be here. And, you know, any sort of superhero talk, obviously I got a Cap shield right behind me. I'm in for that too. So this is right up my alley.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I thought that you might appreciate the references to any type of superhero comic book stuff. You and I, as we've said before, we have a 6 degree of separation. Mark Abrego, who we know, and I know he's a big nerd. So I figured that we'd all be able to connect via the comic book route.
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely. So I feel right at home. Thank you for having me. Yeah.
So we always start, as you saw, I introduced Flobo with a different superhero reference. Any guesses in the chat who it could be? James, you have an idea on who is a child most of the time, but with some magic words is a superhero?
Well, I mean, he might be Shazam to everyone out there, but he'll always be Captain Marvel to me.
Yep, the artist pronounced Captain Marvel.
Absolutely. I try to keep it simple enough. I try not to go too deep down the rabbit hole and be like Crossbones or someone that no one's going to ever
see. As a Cap fan, that would work for me, though.
So really cool. Before we get into the show, just real quick thoughts on Revolution. I thought it was a great show. Did you guys get a chance to see Revolution?
Yeah. Par for the course. Why not? We are pro wrestling journalists, Jack. Of course we see every wrestling company ever made. Revolution was great. There were some talking points about the ending and about the length. But overall, I mean, for a Sunday night show, you couldn't do any worse, man. We had a dope matchup in the tag team division. We had a heavyweight title bout that went to the absolute limit. And I don't know how much skin Moxley has left that hasn't been bloodied in his career, but he's getting up there, man. So it was intense.
Yeah, it didn't.
I really enjoyed it. I got to shout out the street fight between Sting and Darby Allin versus Cage and Ricky Starks with a powerhouse Hobbs making a cameo. I mean, that was my favorite thing, I think, from the whole night. And in terms of this era of cinematic matches that we're in, maybe the best cinematic match that we've gotten so far. I really enjoyed that aspect of it. The ending was what it was. I mean, it happened. And it is something that I don't think that we will soon forget. But now it's on AEW to try and make the most of a bad situation. And I think they started doing that tonight.
I agree. Yeah, you and I, we were tweeting about that Sting, Darby, Cage, Starks match. Yeah, I thought I was over the cinematic matches. I was like, you know what, I'm ready to put that behind me. But I agree, I loved it. I was such a, like, I was watching it like it was a movie. I was so into it the whole time. But yeah, the ending didn't pop off the way we expected it to.
I get it.
But it is what it is. Now, let's go ahead and dive into the meat and potatoes of the show. Let's just move things along. So for those of you who are new to the show, Flobo, do you want to explain how the show works?
Do I? This is not your normal recap show. This is Elite of the Week, where the AEW Elite of the Week panel, or Jack, lists the top 10 tag teams, wrestlers, or staff they feel can get points. You see, if you are placed between 1 and 10, you accrue points almost like Formula 1, with 10 points in tops, the top spot, all the way down to one point for the bottom spot. Also, there are side things like the Farmer's Market, which is basically a prospecting segment. They get 1 point. Best Dress, if it's not me, they get 1 point. And of course, womp, 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 the Dart of the Night gets minus 1 point. At the end of the year, Jack Farmer will painstakingly compile every number, every rating, because I won't do this, to find out who is the best of the best of the best.
Yeah, that about sums it up. I basically use a bunch of algorithms and spreadsheets and like I always say, tack boards with yarn connecting pins to figure out who the very best is each week. And yeah, we rank them, and it'll be fun to see who comes out at the end here. But let's dive in. Let's go to number one. Let's see who the top person is who gets 10 points this week. And the number one person, the elite of the week, is MJF. It's not about the plans, but it's about the contingency plans. And MJF had them. The turns came faster and more furious than a Hobbs and Shaw spinoff. And it changed the dynamic of Dynamite, putting together his own supergroup with Wardlow, FTR, Sean Spears, and Tully Blanchard. The group looks amazing together, has a similar in-ring style and philosophy, and after putting Jericho through the stage in a manner that Kevin Nash once used on Eric Bischoff to set the tone for his new group, he was able to outsmart, outman, and outgun the biggest, baddest group in the history of AEW. James, is that a good spot for old MJF?
I mean, honestly, it was between him and one other dastardly heel that I thought would be taking home the top spot for this week. Now, look, they closed the show. MJF closed the show, and it was, you know, I think a swerve that, judging by the, you know, the quick reaction that I've seen, really got a lot of people. It was effective. And like you said, it's about that contingency plan. And I mean, MJF has been killing it since AEW started. And it almost was like, you know, where is this Inner Circle stuff going to go? And now for it to come back around with incorporating FTR and everything, it was so funny when this was going down. I was thinking, well, where's Wardlow at? And then boom, there's Wardlow. And so I have to agree with you. By the sort of thread of his Burberry scarf, I would say that I agree with you and MJF's placement this week.
Well, it's a very expensive thread. Yes. Lobo, I was watching this, and the whole time I was like, oh, no. Oh, yes. Oh, no. Oh, yes. There were so many twists and turns at the end here. Do you think MJF deserves this top spot?
Well, according to my notes, he is not there, but I think it gave a really convincing argument. I mean, because on one hand, he would cower and beg and had his first plan go awry. What if they believed him? What if the Inner Circle believed him instead of beating up Jericho? Is he going to say, hey, guys, don't worry about the backup plan. We're fine, you know? So yeah. It worked out, and maybe he deserves top three for sure, and so I can't argue with you too much about it.
It would have been funny, yeah, if they followed through, and you see MJF just like, stop.
I sort of was trying to work that in my head too. It's like, if they go along with kicking out Chris Jericho, do, you know, again, this is in this logic world, do the lights still go out and then the rest of the Inner Circle get taken out to boot, as opposed to just Jericho? So does that other shoe still drop? I guess we'll never know.
Right. Yeah, it is an interesting what if situation, but as it is, MJF seems to be, you know, outside of people who actually run the company, the most powerful guy in the ring right now with the most powerful group. It'll be very interesting to see what the reaction is of the Inner Circle. The one question I have that I don't see anyone asking is, what's the name of this group? I hate not having a name. It drives me nuts.
You don't think it's going to be a horseman involved name, do you?
I don't know if they can. Does WWE
the six stallions?
Yeah, exactly. the apocalypse crew.
Yeah, some type of playoff. Yeah.
The stallions is isn't that what Matt Riddle calls himself? He had like a single tear roll down his cheek. Yeah. The group
calls themselves. So yeah.
The stallion.
Well, I'm sure we'll talk about this gentleman later on, but it was not lost on me that at a night when a Four Horsemen-esque group was formed, that Cody Rhodes won his match with a figure four leg lock. So I'm just, you know, just floating that out there into the ether.
Yes, yeah, that will come up in a little bit, but that's what we call a tease, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. We're teasing something later in the show. Something else that's a tease is the way you guys can go and hit like, you can leave a comment, you can subscribe, you can share the show with your friends. That's how we grow. This is me begging for you guys to just do things to make me feel good about myself. Like I said, hitting the like button. I see you guys there. You're in the chat. You're watching anyways. Just do it. Leave a 5-star review. I like to look at them and go, oh, I feel good about myself. I got a 5-star review. Just do it already.
Yeah, make Jack feel good for crying out loud.
Yeah, you know who should also feel good?
Heel promo Jack there.
Number two on the list, the second ranked person on the list, Rey Fenix. I've become completely spoiled by Rey Fenix and his ability to outmove, fly, and bounce even the very best in the business. His hang time when he jumps, his spinning submission moves, the way he's able to just channel Bruce Lee and move through existence like it's water is incredible. He got a win that was cleaner than a former Bullet Club leader, and it not only may be the biggest win of his career.
Don't enable him. Stop.
It may put his team in pole position in his match against the Young Bucks down the line. Come on, that was a good play on words, Flubble. How dare you?
Ah, humbug.
Now, I have a feeling you guys didn't have Rey Fenix this high. Flobo, do you think it's fair that a big win like this puts him this high on the list?
Well, you know, Rey Fenix, gets a spot on this list because, right, they put the work in, opened the show, and it was a fantastic match. But to put him above Penta, it's a little bit questionable, Jack Farmer, because I felt like Penta got a reboot, a hard one today, and the fact that Fenix is in part two and Penta is less than that, I don't know.
Do you agree, James?
I'm with Flobo on this one. I did not have Fenix as much as I love the guy. This high on my list, you know, like I said, you know, with MJF by a thread of his Burberry scarf, I had Kenny Omega at still at number two with everything that he had to do on this edition of Dynamite to make good after, you know, what happened with the end of Revolution. I think Kenny is getting disrespected here by not being in the one or two slot there. You know what I mean? Do we need to get the Dapper Yapper to read off his list of accomplishments? But yeah, no, I think Fenix might be a little high. Not as high as he can fly in the ring, but he's a little high on this list right now. But I got to say, I'm picking up what you're putting down in terms of the just the litany of things that you were saying about him. Yeah, just chef's kiss, my friend.
I see where you guys are coming from. I knew this is going to be a controversial list. There's going to be a number of these this week. I feel like you guys are going to give me a little bit of a kind of look. But
Flack, the Guff.
Flack and Guff, those are two good ones. For me, the thing that made the difference here is the fact that he won a match, and it was a big match. It was a match that was probably, like I said, probably the biggest of his career. He's won a lot of big matches, but I think a win against one of the Bucks is a pretty big win, and it being a singles match, he gets to take it all himself. And like I said, it was totally clean. There was no shenanigans. There was nothing. I mean, there was some stuff going on the outside, but nothing that affected the win here. And I think that is what carried him up so high on the list for me. But I like Fenix.
Fenix is an accomplished singles wrestler, as opposed to the Bucks, who are the strict, more traditional tag team specialists. So if Fenix had not won, I would think that would be sort of an upset, if anything else.
I agree.
Interesting take. I always feel like the Young Bucks are a little underrated in their singles pursuits, but I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I just like Fenix. Maybe it's that old Lucha Underground thing that I like.
Great
about
guy to like. That's for sure.
You crazy.
Well, you guys are going to continue to hate what I have to say.
That's why I log on every week. How can I hate Jack now?
I like how I say this is our list, but really I just make up what I like.
Why, man?
I try to pass it off as a show, but really it's just me saying what I like.
Jack, you and I have so much in common.
Yes.
Like, that's the things that I do on my own shows as well. Like, yeah, this is like total consensus. No.
That's why I thought you'd be fun to have on the show here. So at number three, we have Darby Allin, who after a tough match in an abandoned warehouse, he jumped right back into action against one of the backbones of AEW and Scorpio Sky. Even though he seemed to have every one of his big moves countered against him, He toughed it out until he had that sliver of opportunity, making the best of it and reversing a move himself and getting the win. He also gets an extra point for a title defense here, and he would be ranked even a little bit higher possibly if not for the fact that he got attacked right after and had his ankle gone after, which will probably slow him down in future matches. The fact that his name hasn't come up yet leads me to believe that you guys are going to do some finger wagging at me for saying he's number three. James, where do you think he deserves to be?
Okay, so I'm a big Darby Allin fan, and I think he has all of the tools to be just a top-tier wrestling superstar. The fact that in terms of everyone in All Elite Wrestling, when his music hits, I get that old Attitude Era feeling going through me. Like, his music mm-hmm. has some power and some oomph to it that, you know, makes me feel it. So yeah. I definitely get where you're going there, and, you know, the street fight was great. However, it does feel like in terms of his TNT title reign, you know, you mentioned that all of his big moves get countered. He beat Scorpio Sky by catching him in a cradle. It was sort of like, it seems like that's kind of the prevailing theme with Darby Allin thus far into his championship reign, is never really is able to win definitively. He always just sort of escapes, which I get because of his size. That's sort of the story that maybe they feel that they need to tell. But in terms of ranking him above some people like Penta or Kenny Omega, who have yet to appear this week, I can't go along with that.
Cards subject to change, bro.
Yeah,
I have to agree. I don't hate the fact that Darby Allin is here, but it is kind of interesting that he's up here. No, I can't knock it. Revolution, that match, the street fight, is arguably one of the best, better matches of the card, if not recent memory. And the fact that he went from a pay-per-view match into this week shows he's a workhorse. I'm giving you all of that. But I look at that match, and I think about the weight of competition. Yeah, Scorpio Sky is competitive. You and I were texting before this. When Scorpio Sky's going to get his chance to dance? When did it hit his next level? But I kind of felt going in that I didn't believe for a second that Darby Allin can just destroy Team Taz and get rolled up by Scorpio Sky on Wednesday. So to me, that's why I didn't rank him as high as you did. But I'm not going to finger wag at you, Jack.
Well, you guys make some good points. It is interesting, though, and James, to your point, his TNT title run, I think he's only defended the title twice, but it feels like he's had it forever. It feels like he's been holding on to it for a long, long time. I guess for me, the fact that he was able to hold on to it here, where it kind of felt like it was time for a new phase in the TNT Championship, is kind of what bumped him up for me. Plus, again, I think, to your point, James, as well, when his music hits, people love him. He's the face of TNT. And I think maybe we'll see more from him now that he's got someone like Scorpio Sky gunning for him instead of Team Taz repeatedly every week. But
title defense was almost like a just means to an end for Scorpio Sky to fully turn heel, as it was to, you know, sort of make Darby Allin's reign feel any more important. You know, the most important thing from this match, which is why he would not rank so highly for me in the power rankings, is because this was more about Scorpio Sky than it was about Darby Allin.
Well, I definitely agree with that, and I think he definitely has a lot more story to tell. I'm glad we're going to see Scorpio Sky more. That's more of a tease because he might come up again later in this conversation. But Dylan Matthews in the chat asked the question, do you get an extra point for a title defense or a successful title defense? Yes, you get an extra point whenever you successfully defend a title. That's just, I feel like you deserve it. If you have a title and you're defending it, it also, if
champions
you're
champions advantage.
Yeah, you get the champions advantage. If you're that champion that never defends it, shame on you. You don't get points. I try to level
full well, if you're a champion, you would never defend it. I don't know why.
Yeah, I would never
defend. You run so far.
The only way I would get a championship is if I was like the first champion and they gifted it to me to start it. And then I would never defend it. You're right. It'd be like, I guess I'd be like the FTW champion in a way.
But, I love that you called yourself the king of the spa day match. Yes. Huge pop for me. Huge pop. Yeah.
I would kill it in the spa day matches, by the way. I could put like cucumbers on my eyes all day.
Wow. Cinematic style.
It's just the camera rotating around me with the green stuff on my face.
The Darby Allin style video, but it's just Jack at the spa. I love it. Book it.
Print it, yeah.
A body bag, he's just getting massage.
Yeah, yes. My finisher is getting into the mud bath, by the way.
Undefeated.
Speaking of feeling good, you also want to look good. And this is one of our side categories. This is what we call the best dressed of the night. I think how you dress is important. And I think it's important to acknowledge the people who are best dressed. You said that someone lost out by a thread earlier, James, and I'm bringing that thread back. Kenny Omega is the best dressed this week. He seems to win this award a lot. But hey,
yes,
I don't make the fashion. I just judge it. That shirt was awesome. The shoes were gold. The watch even had a blue strap, which was an amazing little touch. They don't call this guy the cleaner for any of those good night bang reasons. They call him the cleaner because he dresses so damn clean. Now, Flobo, do you finally agree Kenny Omega is the best dressed?
The shirt was dope, but he has so many weeks of misses. I cannot do that in good faith. I could not. I'm sorry. A broken watch is right twice a day, right? And watch next week because we're polka dots and stripes all over again. I'm just saying. He's terrible.
How dare you? He looked amazing. James, talk some sense into Flobo for me.
I'm sorry. The best dress this week was Jake Hager, looking like a straight-up 80s villain yet again. That's who I give best dress to, because a friend of mine passing through was watching that segment, was like, who is that guy dressed up in the background? And so that to make that kind of impact on a non-wrestling fan, I'm giving it to Hager.
That's a good choice, too. He did look like he was just shy of, like, bullying people at a ski lodge when it comes to being an 80s villain.
This is all aesthetic.
Which is a surprising common trope in 80s movies for some reason. The 80s ski lodge. Apparently, that was a big thing in the 80s.
And 90s sitcoms. My boss has a cabin in the woods. Let's go.
So, Flobo, if you don't think it's Kenny, who should it have been?
I had Christian Cage in my notes, but then Haywood wanted Ito also in his opinion. I think that's be another choice for that. But Kenny Omega, I mean, it's a dope shirt. I'll buy the shirt, but I could totally tell you I'll rock it way better than that guy.
Those two were just wearing their regular things, though. That's just what Ito wears every week. You can't win the award for best dress wearing what you always wear. And
you wear suits every week, and you're like, oh, thank you so much for the high praise. You're going to say, no, sorry. I'm looking like trash. I always wear this. Are you kidding me?
This is actually a pull-away suit. It's not even a real suit. I can rip it away.
The LA Lakers is a question. What's underneath? Is it besides the buttless chaps? What's underneath the suit?
It's my spa day stuff.
Of course.
Always ready. That's
Yes, you have a kimono with your pick.
Always ready for that spa day match.
Yeah, you always got to be ready. You never know when someone's going to want to play some rain music and light a scented candle.
Terrible. Moods.
Well, Return to Innocence.
Return to Innocence. Yeah. I was trying to think of who's the name of that band.
Oh, I don't even know.
Is it Enigma?
It is Enigma. Good knowledge, Jack Farmer. Bring me back to the 90s.
Dropping that spa day music.
Incredible. I'll chill out on Ibiza with you anytime, my friend.
Oh, we're going to Ibiza now? Why would you take me along? I'll totally say Kenny Omega is the best dress. I'm going to Ibiza.
Could you imagine you're in Ibiza? You got the big crowds there again. Like make some noise. Return to Innocence.
Dang. Any of us headlining?
And that's the last time I DJed in Ibiza. Speaking of last times, we had a first time today. First time on Dynamite at number 4. We have Ethan Page. Big things are expected of Ethan Page, and so far he's lived up to the hype, in my opinion. He's presented a lot of cool offense we haven't seen in a highly innovative AEW and backed it up with some ruthless basics like kicking Lee Johnson square in the mug when Bryce Rensburg was checking on him and getting a win over the Nightmare Factory product. Also, he didn't let the bell stop him from continuing the offense, and I am a fan of that kind of behavior. Flobo, are you a fan of Ethan Page making the move from Impact over to Dynamite?
Wait, what a loaded question. Am I a fan of what now? Him moving or the ring bell? Look, man, there's a lot of people, a lot of ink been spilled on what Ethan Page can do or have done, and I thought Canadians were nice, but he apparently proved the otherwise. A lot of prospects here in AEW. And I've argued this before in the show, so I'm gonna choose my words carefully because Jack gets all mad at me. Mm-hmm. I know they're a young promotion, but they do need someone that cannot be tied to Japan or Connecticut. This is the term homegrown. For the while, I was saying Wardlow could be that guy. But Ethan Page can be that guy to put him on a poster and say, hey, look, this guy, this stud is only available on this channel, on this promotion. And I think if it's handled correctly, Ethan Page can be the future of the brand.
Big, big praise there. James, do you agree with that about Ethan Page?
I do think he could be one of those guys. When I hear that, and I'm hoping he will be on this list later on. He's already been referenced once before, but you know they were gifted a potential Stone Cold Steve Austin in Pentagon, and really haven't done all that much with him. So that's when I think of a guy that's not tied to Connecticut or Japan as strongly. That's who I think of in terms of somebody that they could really, really capitalize on. Orange Cassidy, another one. But I wouldn't have Ethan Page this high on the list. In fact, I'm not sure if he's on my top 10. And it's not really his fault, but what dominated the conversation about Ethan Page and his Dynamite debut was the fact that there was NBA audio bleeding all throughout the AEW broadcast. And it really, to me, I don't think I saw anybody really talking about Ethan at all as much as they were like, yo, can we get an engineer to fix what's going on? And that's so... can't really in good conscience.
It's because Ethan Page is a blue chipper. He's a blue chipper. That's why. First round draft pick.
No, I thought he was still an all-star, but you know, I can't in good conscience put him especially this high on the list when again there's some big names that have yet to come up here.
Neither of you are allowed back on the show, by the way. completely off the rails. I want people who just say, wow, Jack, your intelligence, your wrestling acumen is so incredible. I'm so happy for how well you put this together. And here you guys are making me question myself. I don't know if I like this. I don't know if I'm a fan anymore.
This isn't fun for Jack anymore.
It's not fun for me anymore. Well, I thought he did a great job, but you guys both raised really good points. Yeah, the audio stuff was terrible. But
not his fault.
It's not his fault. I don't know whose fault that was. Someone got yelled at, I'm sure. But I want to get this. I want to get things righted. I want to get back into your guys' good graces. So I'm going to move on to number five. And how nice is it that number five is Penta coming to us from the Spanish announce table, looking good in his business mask, having Alex translate for him. I love that he challenged Cody Rhodes in a move that is a big step up for him in AEW, particularly taking those personal shots at Cody, mentioning the damaged shoulder and that he would make it even worse for Cody. Could we be seeing Penta taking steps towards that Lucha Underground version of himself that made him so popular in the States? I hope so, and so should you. James, you've already talked about him. You've been saying it for a while. We talked about Lucha Underground before we started the show. Are we going to get the Lucha Underground Pentagon that we've all been wanting?
We are back on track, Jack, by the way. So finally, we got Penta on this list. And also, you mentioned sort of the business mask. He is a contender for, you know, best dress this week.
He was, actually.
As well. I love this. I love everything about this. It's huge for Pentagon, huge for AEW, in my opinion, because they have gold in him. He showed in Lucha Underground the kind of top wrestler he can be, the connection that he has to the crowd, the fact that people will be interested in him if they rekindle that Lucha Underground Pentagon. And I think doing something with Cody, you know, that's obviously box office to AEW. Putting him with Cody means that they're serious about him. And so I hope he really gets a chance to thrive and to shine here and sort of step into what I think that they saw in him when they first signed him. So I'm thrilled for this.
Yeah, you had alluded to him being something like a Stone Cold. I'm so glad you said that, because anyone who watched Lucha Underground, he is the only person since Stone Cold, in my opinion, that had that same, when he comes out, you're like, someone's getting wrecked. Someone's getting messed up. He's not leaving without doing harm to somebody else. Yeah. Who's it going to be? And the way he would do the arm breaking move was so cool. I think he is a massive star. Flobo, I know you didn't watch all of Lucha Underground. Do you see superstar status in Pentagon?
First off, let me say, wow, Jack, I love your wrestling acumen. That was amazing. It was great.
Was that so hard?
it was painful, actually. No, Penta was my top five as well. And I've watched, maybe I know we're in a safe space. I watched the first two seasons of Lucha Underground. Haven't finished it. Still working on it. And Penta did have that vibe. In fact, there's in Burbank, California, which is about 18 miles from my house, there is a martial arts museum where there's a full Penta costume. And seeing it on a mannequin, you can like feel how important Penta, even though he's in the room, his costume feels way more important. My only concern has been small. It's about the timing. I think if you give the ball to Penta, he'll definitely spike it. But I do feel like it's kind of like, oh, well, what else do we have kind of a thing. So to me, over the next 2 weeks, it has to be imperative that this is a Penta story first and Cody's in Penta's way and not the other way around.
That's true. Hopefully this isn't just a way for Cody to sort of give himself something to do, and it is a chance for Penta to get going again. I do want him to pull that arm out of the socket. I want him to go after Cody Rhodes. I'd have had Penta higher. I think he had number one on the list potential. Just the only difference this week, the thing that he's not ranked as high for is, one, MJF created a supergroup. What are you gonna do? You know, when Thanos shows up, sorry, Loki, you're not the number one bad guy anymore. But also he didn't have a match. And so with both those things happening, it bumped him down a little bit. But man, I'm excited for Pentagon. People who don't know how great Pentagon is should be very excited as well.
Yeah, do yourselves a favor. Watch the Cerro Miedo match between him and Vampiro. I was thinking about that match even during the exploding barbed wire death match at Revolution. And that Cerro Miedo match is one of my all-time favorites, if not my favorite hardcore match of all time. So I am excited at the prospect of finally getting that guy in AEW.
That was a really great match. One of my favorite things, if we're just going to like gush about Lucha Underground real quick, and spoiler alert for those who haven't seen it, is just when he came out and just busted Mil Muertes' arm after Mil Muertes was crushing people. I was like, duh! it was the coolest moment. Yeah, if they give him that chance, it's interesting because Phoenix is so much the in the ring, the guy that just excels. But then something about Penta, he just – I don't like his AEW name. I want to just call him Pentagon, but I know there's copyright issues and things like that and legal things that you got to deal with.
His name is like as convoluted as Sub-Zero's backstory at this point in Mortal Kombat. So, I totally get it.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, like, because it's Penta El Zero. So it's like five, the Zero Fear. It doesn't even make sense, but...
Pretty much.
I don't know. Someone whose name does make sense is number six. We have Scorpio Sky. It was incredible watching Scorpio Sky keep up with someone as fast as Darby Allin after enduring such a tough ladder match just a few days ago. And on top of the speed, he was able to slug Darby with big fists and kicks in the face on multiple occasions and suplexing him around at will. His reversal to the from the Suicida into a cutter, as well as the coffin drop into a powerbomb, just absolute things of beauty. It seemed like he was only not in control for 3 seconds of this match. Unfortunately, it was the most important 3 seconds, but it didn't stop him from continuing as we saw shades of a more aggressive and ruthless Scorpio Sky, and maybe that'll lead to the singles gold he so desperately wants. Six, now for a guy who lost a match, I feel like six is kind of high, but it also, in my opinion, is what is, I think he's finally coming to the dance as a singles wrestler. Am I putting too much stock into this, James?
No, I don't think so at all. And I think that this is, like you said, sort of Scorpio Sky stepping into the spotlight. And we saw teases of that, not even really teases, but I mean, when he was on commentary last week, he was a heel. And so he was very much so telegraphing that this moment with Darby Allin would be coming and in the promo leading into the ladder match and all that jazz. But I thought the execution of this was perfect. Like you said, he was in control the whole match. And that goes to sort of why, you know, Darby shouldn't have been as high necessarily maybe on this list, but Scorpio Sky, God, he is the truth in the ring. And now getting this sort of heel wrinkle to his character, I think we're going to see a lot out of him. And maybe that coffin drop into the powerbomb might have been my favorite sort of moment of the night in terms of in-ring bell-to-bell action. It was sick. So, yeah, I'm with Scorpio Sky being right here.
Yeah. I thought it was amazing as well. Flobo, how about you?
I have known Scorpio Sky for 10 years when I was working in the wrestling business before you guys were, because I was on a smaller little organization called Mach 1. Scorpio Sky was one of the more favorable people to me, welcomed me with open arms. And I know, Jack, you interviewed Scorpio Sky one-to-one, but the issue I touched upon before, he always seems to have a big match opportunity and falls short. Now, he's valuable for any roster. He can go out there and do a 15-minute banger, but I hope that they're not putting all the eggs in one basket with this heel turn. Not to make it a racial thing, but we look at Private Party, we look at Powerhouse Hobbs, we have wrestlers of color that change to go heel, but there's no one to fight them. And so all we have are just villains. We just have villain minority at the top here at AEW. So I hope that there is a story set for Scorpio Sky to really have him flesh out his character, that I'm here for it. But if it goes nowhere, I'll be a little disappointed.
I think that's a great point in general, that they're almost top heel heavy in AEW as opposed to just babyface in general. I think that's a great point.
Yeah, and to your point as well, it's interesting because the Dark Order was a bunch of ne'er-do-wells, and they all recently have become more lovable, yet there's still a lot of guys you're not supposed to like on AEW. It's crazy. It's like no matter how much we find ourselves loving people, there's still so many people to hate. Right. So it's got to be tough to find a place for them. But do you think, Flobo, to your point, do you think this will put Scorpio Sky over the top? Will this put him in that a place where it's not just a big match and a loss?
It's a rock and a hard place situation. There is a clear path, really. I mean, there's so much talent in AEW. There's another show coming out to show you how much talent they have. But the problem that we've seen recently, if I can call it a problem, is that small nuggets of story tend to get stretched. And if the core of that story is not interesting, it kind of falls by the wayside. So Sting and Darby Allin had a nice blow-off match, but you and I were on the show going, I wonder what's happening this month. It feels like it's in second gear. Scorpio Sky's had teases with talent. There was a whole Sean Spears thing that kind of came and went. The Cody thing kind of came and went. It has to be a booked backwards story with a really strong, or I guess a good guy, a villain for Scorpio Sky, but a good guy they can actually have a long-term battle with.
Do you want him to win the TNT title? If you had your druthers, would you say, I want him to win?
Here's an individual that couldn't get it done twice as a good guy, and really? Now if he has an edge and doesn't win it, I don't think you can recover from that.
Interesting point. He's basically not SCU anymore. He's completely broken away from them, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
I think it would almost be an interesting story point if he costs SCU their next tag team match so that they have to break up as a group altogether. I think sort of completely turning his back on the group, because I don't think that they've had an official split. So maybe there's another shoe to drop there. But to Flobo's point, I don't think Scorpio Sky necessarily needed to be a heel. I think he works great as a babyface. What I'm hoping for is that this maybe lets him find some sort of maybe personality points that really shine on TNT, and they can flip him back eventually down the road. But yeah, I, as long as they have a destination in mind for him, because he's somebody that you go back to, you know, the open challenge days with Cody's TNT championship run, man, Scorpio Sky is just so dang good. He's somebody that doesn't have those Connecticut ties, doesn't have those, New Japan ties. He's another one that they could build around on AEW. Like, you can see this guy on Dynamite.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, he's one of those guys. I think if you made a checklist of everything you want in a pro wrestler, Scorpio Sky checks every single box.
Yeah.
And to that open challenge thing, I was thinking he's the perfect person to do an open challenge, defend it every week kind of person, because he can do it all. It seems like he can have great matches with everybody. He's great on a microphone. It will be fun to see him be a jerk on the microphone, though. I'm excited to hear him be more of a jerk. I loved him on Dynamite last week when he was talking smack and being a jerk. He's so lovable. So hey, he's good either way. But I think it'll be fun hearing him be a big jerk. Speaking of jerks, every week we have what's called the dud of the week. I don't like doing it, James, but my producer.
Oh no! Did I win?
The executive. you got an award, James.
Damn it!
That's what you get for not agreeing with me all the way through. So every week, look, we rank them. We start with number one. We go through them all. Now everyone is on the list, but someone has to be at the very end, James. Someone has to be the dud. The show's Dynamite. We call it a dud because sometimes the bombs don't go off. For Revolution, it was literally a dud. It was literally that the bombs didn't go off. So this week it was kind of tough. There's a number of people that I thought could have been here. I even had a runner-up this week, Tony Schiavone, who got cut off twice by trying to have interviews and someone coming out and saying, no, not this time. But the dud of the week this week is another production-based dud. What was the basketball stuff? What a shame. It took away such a large part of the show, as you guys already alluded to. It was the talk of Twitter. I have to imagine that someone just got cussed out and reamed backstage for that. I don't even know how that happens, but that has to be the worst part of the show. That had to be the thing that really sucked away the show. As we said, we alluded to it a little bit already, but any other thoughts on that, and does that deserve to be the dud of the week?
It definitely deserves, but how do you score that? The network? Like TNT? Some dude in the back? Like, what? Who gets 9 points?
I thought production was going to be a one-off after the Revolution episode, but here we are.
Just racking the points up.
That's the thing. On the heels of what happened at the end of Revolution, and you know, my background in the NBA with the Golden State Warriors, look, stuff happens. And I've had to do some things on broadcasts where – you know, something didn't work at the last minute and there's not a lot you can do. However, this went through two segments. They went to commercial break and they came back from break and there was still the issue. That absolutely cannot happen. The fact that it went through two segments is sort of unforgivable in my mind. And I don't know what was going on with their engineer or what have you, but it did sound like at one point somebody just like, oh, let me just turn this off. And it was completely gone. So it did get fixed, which means it was fixable during the commercial break.
Right. I wonder if they were just trying to figure out what switch to turn or if they didn't realize it was happening. But I don't know about you guys, but it felt like almost the worst part of it for me was after it was over, the arena felt empty. It felt so quiet and weird afterwards. Now I was used to this weird sound everywhere. And then it was like, oh, now it feels like everything's just dead. But
totally, it felt like there was somebody in the production truck that wanted to listen to the game as a monitor and had as the output instead. As a DJ, I've done that before. You're like, they try to preview a song, you can hear the preview come out. You're like, oh no, I'm a hack. They'll know everything.
And then you say that into the microphone on accident. I'm a hack.
No refund.
My life is a lie.
Oh man.
We've all been there. Speaking of someone who's been there before, number 7, Matt Jackson. We're so used to seeing the Young Bucks have great matches as a tag team. I'm surprised every time how good they are singularly. Tonight, however, Matt seemed flummoxed by the speed of Phoenix, even turning his back to him at one point and shaking his head. But the ring veteran was able to slow things down. And even though it's out of character for him to do so, to try to control everything, he even hit a huge big elbow drop. It all wasn't enough in the end. But for my money, this was match of the night. And that's why he deserves a spot on this list.
Matt, it was not my top 10.
Wow.
I like this guy. He's awesome.
And he's my favorite Young Buck. I mean, if I had to pick one,
I'm more of a Papa Buck guy myself. Yeah.
It's like not you, Nick. The other one.
Savage. I mean, it was arguably match of the night, but I just, it was a losing effort. Like you said before, it was as clean as a leader of the Bullet Club or whatever you did that fancy word. Before I'm your Huckleberry, all that good stuff. But you know, I just think with everything else that happened, there are some names that we have not gotten to yet. I can't really justify Matt Jackson being in this spot.
First of all, I want to thank Sock Monkey Mike. You a real G. Hey, and two,
Sock Monkey Mike with the lies in the chat.
Hey, he apologized. Listen, I'm with James here. The Dynamite, despite the audio issues, had a fantastic show. We probably saw a faction battle in the main event. We haven't even touched the women's division. Thunder Rosa, Britt Baker, and Christian Cage and a Young Buck gets to be on the list. What is going on, Jack? Are they paying you off?
I'm just saying, like, so he had what I thought was match of the night, started things off strong, and I don't think, look, I'll just say it, maybe spoiler alert, Christian Cage didn't do anything. He walked out. He wasn't able to see clearly, and then he picked up the belt. That was all he did.
Not going to stand for that.
Against the guy who has a match of the night, at least contender.
Not going to stand for that slander on this show. Christian Cage is my number two, and I can tell you why at the end of the show. But I can't believe you sit at a future Hall of Fame and be like, you do not get. It's called set the table, Jack.
Okay. Fine. We'll talk about someone who set the table. We'll talk about number eight, Eddie Kingston, who's able to talk his way out of anything. I'm convinced that the black eye on the end of a great show on Sunday turned into a great way to bring himself and Moxie together for a common good, took some shots at Impact while he was at it, came out and actually slugged the champ instead of being like a Christian Cage and just looking around. And now he's got things going on with Don Callis, with Impact, with Kenny Omega. And no matter what his win-loss record is, he always finds a way to be in the peripheral of the world title, which is where you want to be. So he gets that spot. I don't care what you guys think.
The truth comes out. Not to cut you off there, James, but I actually agree. There's only one person above my list, Christian Cage, is Eddie Kingston. I think he's the MVP of the night, and I can go into detail if you like. But I will say this. You look at what happened Sunday, because you can tell me up and down till you're blue in the face that Kenny Omega doesn't know how to set up a ring, but Eddie Kingston sold as if he was shot dead. So that was one character that needed the most rehab, that needed to explain why he was feeling the way he did, and act as a threat to the actual cleaner. The cleaner, Kenny Omega, dispatch Moxley. He should have clear road. And we all know Eddie Kingston is another guy that hasn't quite won the title. But here's someone I instantly believe out of the box. It was a good tease. A lot of work there that Eddie Kingston had to do as a character. And that's why I have him at number one. Because I think that if anyone else could have come out and be like, sorry, it could have been Eddie Kingston. But he was burned, man. Burned.
I agree with both of you. I think Eddie Kingston and Kenny Omega had the sort of toughest jobs this week on Dynamite because of what happened at the end of Revolution, in particular Eddie Kingston, because he sold it. And let's talk for a moment about how, if I'm Eddie Kingston, I am furious at AEW production for not thinking on the fly and fixing that in the moment, because I'm sure before he went out there, they probably told them it's going to be great. You know, just whatever you do, just sell it, you know, sell it like you're dead kind of deal. So they set him up and he went out there and it didn't go off. In that moment, you have to have somebody on IFB be like, hey, you know, Eddie, pop up and, you know, act surprised, or send Kenny and the Good Brothers back out there to beat him down, something to salvage it in the moment. They didn't do that. So it was on Eddie to save it. And I thought that he went a long way on this episode of Dynamite, talking about the PTSD and everything like that, giving sort of credence to a sometimes world that defies logic that is pro wrestling. And so, yeah, absolutely. Eddie Kingston, hats off. A huge step forward. And if there's somebody, again, we're talking about sort of like people that could be the poster boys for AEW, what they stumbled upon with Eddie Kingston, you know, midway through 2020, they can follow up on in 2021 and really make the guy, and I hope they do it.
Yeah, he's one of those guys. Kind of, there's certain people like him. I think Paul Heyman's another one of those guys where I just want to give them things to say. Samoa Joe's another guy. I just want to like write things for them to say and hear them say in a way that is believable and intimidating or exciting, or because I feel like you could give him your grocery list and he'll say it in a way that makes you just feel like he's impassioned about it, you know? Yeah. I can't do it. He'll be like, eggs, milk, butter, you know, whatever. I don't know. Like, say it, and you'll just be like, oh, my gosh, this guy's really into it.
If I can offer just a minor critique, though, of the covering it up, I would have preferred it to not be quite so jokey-jokey in sort of the talking about it and being with Moxley, because it's sort of taking away from the fact that, like, we're bearing the lead here, that they're friends again, and kind of – because – let's say the explosion goes as planned. What an amazing story that they did have to tell. And it's a shame that now they're having to play damage control on, you know, just, again, a mistake. You know, that's one that I can honestly forgive, as bad as it looked on pay-per-view. Like, it didn't go off. But you have to be able to adapt on the fly. But, you know, I would have gone with a little bit less of the sort of maybe jokes in the segment in terms of when Mox and he were talking. But other than that, I thought Eddie himself did a great job sort of covering it.
Agreed.
Yeah, the joke thing that didn't land for me was that because it was on a pay-per-view, people paid money to see an exploding death match. And yeah. So to say, even if it's part of a story, it still feel, or, you know, even if it's like, hey, it was a joke, it's like, well, now next time you tell me that you're going to do something, I'm like, well, what if it's another joke? Which you never want to do. Sure. But of course, to your point, you know, production things happen. I don't know. I don't know if the story is behind it all, but I agree. I think the story is that they're friends now, and I can't wait to see what they do together. But someone I'm really excited about seeing right now is Cody Rhodes. He'd be higher, but it feels like he's milking that shoulder a little bit much, isn't he? I mean, he missed like half of his ladder match with his injured shoulder, and I didn't really like that too much. I'm supposed to be rooting for, fighting through the pain. While everyone else is doing all his work, he's hanging out in the back, holding his arm, waiting for the time to strike. But at the end of the day, today, he had a win. It was quick. It was impressive. I mean, it wasn't against someone who's ranked, so that makes it a little less impressive. But he did win with a figure four on a night that, as you mentioned, that may mean something. And now that he's at it with Penta, and Penta's getting him all emotional, the best Cody Rhodes is emotional Cody Rhodes. And he hasn't really been that emotional Cody Rhodes since his rivalry with MJF. And I think maybe we'll get that emotional Cody Rhodes again. And that means we're going to get a good Cody Rhodes. Are we excited, fellas, for where Cody Rhodes is going?
It's just a difficult question for me. And I try not to think about it, but you can't not think about it. Because by any other metric, Cody Rhodes should be going up the card. And I know there was that stipulation at the beginning of AEW's run where Cody says, if I lose this match, I won't be able to go for it. But it kind of feels like he's graduated that first hour. I feel like he deserves a chance at the main event. I don't know. Things could be undone in wrestling. Kane came back from a fire. Let's do it. You know, let's have Cody Rhodes go for the main title.
I'm excited that where this is potentially going. I think more so for what we talked about earlier with Pentagon, as opposed to necessarily Cody. I don't want this to just, as you stated earlier, Jack, it to be sort of, well, Cody needs something to do. Like, this needs to be a meaningful, like you said, passionate blood feud kind of deal. And, you know, I've seen Cody and Penta work before. They do have good chemistry. I'm excited to see them have a reprise of their in-ring work together. But I gotta say, it's not exactly an earth-shattering opinion, but I am waiting for that Cody Rhodes heel turn. I am at this point. The way he sort of, there are subtle things that he's done that you know, I have talked about in the wrestling war room, like the whole gender reveal thing, the baby announcement, like the fact that he's using TNT TV time to do that. That to me is a heel move. Maybe I'm in the minority on that opinion, but that to me is like, oh man, what a heel. You know, it's kind of very self-serving.
Yeah, it feels, I agree with you 100%. And I think what seems like keeps happening is I feel like he keeps wanting to, and people just cheer him anyways. You know, like I think he does like the gender reveal thing, and everyone, even though it's kind of like a, yeah, like kind of a jerk thing to use TNT time for a personal thing like that, everyone's just like, yay, Cody, we're happy for you.
Yeah, and we are, and it's great, yeah. But it's just in the back of my mind, which is always geared to, wait a minute, what is this really about? I'm like, is he trying to tell us something right now, like low-key? And what did we ever get an explanation for why there was My Chemical Romance, Cody? Or was like that for a role? Like he did it for like a week or two and then it was just gone again?
The Black Parade was in town. And
yeah. So, hey,
I felt it was like he had planned to come back to see that he changed with his match with the late Brody Lee. But then it was like the network was like, what are you doing? We taped all these shows with you with your blonde hair. Go back to that.
That's actually a good point. I didn't even think about that. Because I still live in a world where I believe he runs over to the Go Big studio right after.
Yeah, that's right.
He heads right over there.
But that was another thing he did too, which was it was this big announcement like about his injury status update, and it was just to talk about the Go Big show. I was like, this is another heel move here. Like, what are we doing?
Like I said, I think he wants to be. I think that's what he wants, because even all the way back when he had his match with Dustin Rhodes, he was the bad guy. He was the jerk, but everyone just keeps loving him, and I think it's one of those things he keeps trying to. But every time he does something, even when it's bad, everyone's like, great, we love it. Keep going, Cody.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be very hard for him to get us to turn on him, because I think people who love AEW appreciate him for what he's done to bring it. And I don't know if he'll be able to unless he does something terrible, but who knows? But do you, James, do you think if he went for the world title, if he said, you know what, that promise, I'm throwing it out the window, I'm just going to go for the world title anyways. Are you cool with that? Or are you like, come on, dude, have some...
It's a great heel tactic for him to turn and be like, you know what? I've run this company, and just rip up the contract. It's like Chris Jericho's not even here right now. He's in the hospital or whatever. He's on leave with injury. Like, I can challenge for whatever I want and just do it that way. I think absolutely it's the move that you have to do when he's a heel, though. Like that's how it really works.
Book it.
I'm one of those people. I'm give me what I want now, and I'm happy. So. Yeah, I'm very like as I always say, as the great poet Batista says, "Give me what I want." And so, if he has a world title match, I want to see that. I don't care what the rules were before; just give me what I want. I want to see it. So, number 10 is controversial. You guys are gonna hate me for this. You're gonna roll your eyes. You're gonna yell at me. But number 10, Chris Jericho. At the end of the day, he almost outsmarted MJF. MJF. He caught MJF planning, his team stayed loyal to him, and even though MJF had another group at the ready, it's like when you dump your girlfriend before finding out she was cheating on you. Like, it's still a loss, but you still get to manage to hold your head up a little bit and be like, hey, I dumped you, not the other way around. Even though everyone's going to like side-eye you like, okay, whatever, dude. But you still get a little bit of that, and loyalty still means something. So even though he went through a bunch of staging, I still feel like he deserves number 10 on the list.
Definitely not my choice, but you can't deny that he did the heavy lifting in this promo with his war. What was it called? What was the segment called? The war
cross? Council of War.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Something like that. War councils.
War council.
So yeah. I have no idea. Yeah, it was a Wardlow. He did a lot of the heavy lifting. He did the whole, like, we are swerving you. So I would say the best work I've seen Jericho do on the microphone for a while. So even though it wasn't on my list, I can't deny that. A point won't kill me. It's fine.
Yeah. I'll never argue Chris Jericho being on any top 10 list pretty much in all of wrestling because he's done it all. He deserves all of the praise that anyone wants to heap on him. And he has done the heavy lifting over the first year plus now of AEW in terms of helping make new stars. And he did it again tonight. And that's such an important thing. And it's gotten MJF back on, I feel like, this sort of like main event track now again with being essentially what I assume is being written off of TV for a while. Or at least I would hope in order to sell what they did tonight. So I will not argue with Chris Jericho coming in at number 10 on this list whatsoever. I think he absolutely belongs just for that ability to give back and elevate, which, you know, AEW Elevation and all that good stuff.
And way to tie in the promo there. Elevation every Monday, by the way. I agree. I think MJF is a different level now completely. And I agree. I hope Jericho's off TV for a minute because when he comes back, it'll be huge when he comes back to finally get back at MJF in some way. I think the crowd, whatever size it is, will go bananas for it. We're running out of time, so I do want to jump into the last part, which is the farmer's market. Now, James, I call this farmer's market.
Ooh, I love a good farmer's market.
Yeah, farmer's market, fresh produce, right? New stuff. My last name's Farmer as well. It's also a play on the stock market. It's kind of like which person should you buy stock in right now? Who's the person who's under the radar, basically who's on AEW Dark that you can invest in? I always try to pick a new one every week. So this week I'm gonna give it to Cesar Bononi. He's part of Pretty Picture with Peter Avalon. He's a big dude, cool mustache, seems primed. I have a feeling he'll be slowly making his way to Dynamite one way or another. So if you were to invest now before his stock goes up. I don't know if you follow AEW Dark, but he seems to be someone to watch.
I do. Take.
I like him, but I'm going with Championship Wrestling from Hollywood alum, Mr. Danny Limelight. I would invest in him. I mean, he is one of those guys that, as I say, is the truth in the ring. He's got all this swagger with it just dripping for days. So I'm going with Danny Limelight.
Well, yeah, not only do I have to agree with you, but he was the original Farmer's Market pick.
There you go. See, yeah.
Wait, you just say
I try to do a different one, so I try not to pick people twice. Fair.
What did this witness? Jack just said, not only agree with you, I was right first. What was that?
But where is the line? He was technically right first.
Daylight, it's amazing. Cesar Moreno is great. Some would say that his upside won't be as high as Danny Limelight, but of the two, I'm giving it all on Danny. He's all about his merch, his pride, all about his in-ring work, and all about his heritage. So yeah, Danny Limelight for sure.
We and Haywood, right? We do need the bodega in AEW. By the way, Farmers Market has featured Danny Limelight, Dan Joseph, and Levi Shapiro. So a bunch of love for Championship Wrestling from Hollywood and Primetime Live in that department for sure. Now we're at the last hour, so before we sign off, though, guys. Anyone I missed? Anyone who you feel I flagrantly disregarded on the list?
No, my troll move. Here's what I had. I had the dud as MBF because he got swerved on. Mm-hmm. I had best dress as Butcher Blade the Bunny. I had my top three was Kingston, Cage, and QT Marshall because QT Marshall's figuring out to go to business for himself finally. Mm. A little different than yours, but yeah, that was mine.
Nightmare Family sneaky bad outside of Cody, by the way.
And yeah. Cody eventually, yeah.
Yeah, eventually, yeah. Well, I do think in terms of somebody that I wish they would invest in, now he's long in the tooth, but he's still as good as he ever was, and that's Dustin. I would love to see him, you know, more prevalent in AEW because I just think he still has so much to offer. In terms of snubs, you didn't have Kenny Omega on this list.
He's the best dressed.
But he didn't have like an okay, so you're crediting him with how he looked, which isn't even what I thought about. He made a 69 reference on TNT. He was laying on top. He was talking about dry. He was getting over this whole thing. He wasn't even on the list.
That's what I deal with every week, James. Every week I deal with this.
He was chasing that chicken bleep and turning it into chicken salad.
He was very entertaining. I thought he got outshined a little bit on a lot of like Eddie Kingston ended up punching him in the mouth. Don Callis
and the tag team specialist. You're disrespecting
Christian Cage,
heavyweight champion.
Christian Cage is a former NWA heavyweight champion.
This is lame.
This is me looking for how Jack came up with this list.
Listen, like I said, I have metrics. I have criteria. I have
quadratic formulas. Lots.
Pythagorean is involved in somehow.
Oh, man.
X squared plus Y squared. That's not even the right comment. A squared, B squared, C squared. In any case, so we're past the hour. You guys have saved your time. Before we sign off, Flobo, can you let the world know where they can find you online?
Well, you can find me three ways on Twitter, at Flobo Boyce, if you want to hang with me personally, at @new_Amsterdam for my podcast. And if you love the great sport of Rocket League /Carball, Novanta RL, I'm casting. That means I get to commentate with people playing games and say, good shot, what a miss. It's great.
Nice.
Yeah. And James, where can they find you?
At James Kincaid on Twitter. It's in the little lower third there. And then you can check out the Best Damn Nerd Show and the Wrestling War Room on Spotify and wherever you find your podcast. We're part of the 10-0 Media Network. And check out Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, Primetime Live, and all that good stuff with pro wrestling that we do and the Jack that you do and stuff like that. I'm super passionate about it. And thank you so much for having me on. This is a lot of fun.
Yeah, great having you on. You're welcome back anytime. My name's Jack Farmer. You can find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media, as well as the Draped in Gold on Thursdays with Flobo as well, but also the Everything Tournament on Thursdays as well. And as James had mentioned, the Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, Primetime Live, so much fun stuff there. And we talk about Farmer's Market, but if you want to see the stars of tomorrow and today, check out Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. So much good stuff happening there. And as always, that's the show. Until next time, do your best and be yourself.